Today, the title of the message is really a question. Should we study prophecy? Everyone is interested in the future. A little boy wonders what he will be when he grows up. A teenager may wonder what the boy or girl will be like, whom they will marry. The athlete is concerned whether he will make the basketball or football team or some other team. And parents hope their children will be successful. The nation thinks about the future, the economy, interest rates, and the rise and fall of stocks and so forth. Most people are interested in what the weather will be like tomorrow or on the weekends. With all these predictions and future hopes, there are doubts and disagreements, of course. The future is uncertain to be dogmatic about, from a human standpoint, that is. Yet there is a definite word about the future, as sure as the present, and as knowable as the past, and it is found in God's Word. Only God is omniscient, or He knows everything. He knows about what was in the past, He knows what's going to be, what's in the present, and He knows what the future will be like, or what will take place in the future. Moreover, He has chosen to reveal some of this future to us through His Word. In Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, we read, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law." And then we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Let me find, okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. "As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Man in himself is not able to control or discern the future, but God has given us the Holy Spirit that we might understand and know what the Scripture tells us of the future." In John chapter 16, verse 13, we read, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." Yet there is a real ignorance concerning things to come. Some people say prophecy is so full of symbols and hard language that we can't really understand it, so they neglect studying it. Some say we should be out winning souls and not take time for such time-consuming study, and so it is on the low side of priorities. Now, it's important to be seeking to win people to Christ, but prophecy is not on the low side of priority. It's something we should be studying. And some say Well, such study should only be done in the seminary class. There is no personal practical application to everyday living in such a study, and so they neglect studying it. And then there are the liberals who deny the supernatural and thus find no meaning or reason in prophetic thinking. Now, what Jesus said to the unbelieving religious leaders of his day can certainly be applied to our generation. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 2 and 3, we read that Jesus said to them, He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. In our secular and materialistic day, many are not concerned about these spiritual matters. Their main concern about the future things is their future pension and Social Security and life insurance, and with some people, it's daily horoscopes. Now, even though the first three things we should think about, yet those shouldn't be our main concern. Should the Christian be interested in such a study as prophecy? Well, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, first of all, that Christians are exhorted to be students of the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, we read where God says, Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, we read, As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Now, prophecy is as much of God's word as any other part or doctrine. When scripture was written, when it was first written, 25% of scripture was prophetic. And even though a lot of that has come to pass, still, even today, there is much prophecy that is yet unfulfilled. So it's important that we study it. Secondly, should we study it? Yes, because personal blessing can be gained through this type of study. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, we read, Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So he tells us we should read, we should hear, and we should obey, keep what we read. And then in Revelation chapter 22, we read, 22 verse 7, we read, Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. So personal study comes through the study, personal blessing comes through the study of God's word and prophetic things. Thirdly, we should study prophecy because knowledge of the future gives comfort and hope to the child of God. Jesus told his disciples when he was going away, and that greatly bothered the disciples that Jesus was going to be leaving, but Jesus calmed their fears with these words, and we read back in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. And here we read, he said to his disciples, "Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And since I am going to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." You see, Jesus calmed them with prophetic truth. Comfort came from a promise of a heavenly home and the imminent or the soon return of Christ. When the young Thessalonian believers were sorrowing over the death of Christian loved ones, Paul wrote of the return of Jesus Christ and of the resurrection of the dead and the rapture of the living saints and the eternal fellowship of the entire group. And then he concluded in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, he concluded, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Multitudes of Christians have received comfort from these passages. And then a fourth reason why we should study prophetic truth is that prophetic truth gives incentive for Christian work and for faithfulness to serve the Lord. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 to 57. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 57. And we read this. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." Now notice verse 57, "But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And then notice verse 58. "Therefore, because of what I've written, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The fact that Christians could be caught up into heaven at any moment to receive a new body without aches or pains or sickness or weaknesses, which is corruptible, and receive bodies that will last forever, they'll be immortal, that was an incentive to those believers, and this is an incentive for the present Christian to live for the Lord and to faithfully serve Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, the Bible tells us, well, let me read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." You see, one day we're going to stand before the Lord and we're going to give an account for how we've lived and how we served the Lord, and we will be rewarded for faithful conduct or faithful living and for faithful stewardship. Now, Paul's evangelistic fervor and passion for souls was at least partly based upon the realization that he would have to give an account for his part in the missionary outreach of the church. Now, the fifth reason why we should study prophecy is prophetic truth challenges unbelievers to come to Christ for salvation. Paul visited the sophisticated, intellectual, and idolatrous city of Athens and preached to the philosophers on Mars Hill. And in Acts chapter 17, beginning with verse 29 through 31, we read, "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's devices. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, which is Jesus, whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." To challenge man to repentance, he spoke of a future resurrection and judgment. Some mocked at him, but some believed. When Paul witnessed to the Roman ruler Felix and his wife in Acts chapter 24, we read in verses 24 to 25, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go your way for this time. When I have a convenient season or time, I will call for you.'" Now, it doesn't use these words here, but what Paul was preaching was really flee from wrath to come. And that's a message to that's an integral part of the gospel to the unsaved. Judgment is coming, and you need to turn from your sin and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, a sixth reason why we should study prophecy is because prophecy is proof of the authority of the Word of God. Turning back again to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, we read, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto you a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him you shall hearken." And we read that that was fulfilled. We read that in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." See, that prophecy was fulfilled. And then seventh reason why we should study prophecy is this: prophecy gives an appreciation of the power and wisdom of God. Isaiah spoke to the idolatrous priest of Israel, and he said this in Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 and 10. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. He said, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." So, prophecy gives an appreciation of God's power and wisdom. And then lastly, and eighth, why we should study prophecy, because prophecy gives incentive for holy living. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, we read, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, when Jesus shall come, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as Christ is pure." Or we want to live a holy life because we're going to see Christ. And then one more portion, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. And here we read, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, What manner of persons ought we to be, or what different type of persons ought we to be in all holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in him in peace, without spot, and blameless. In other words, live a diligent life, a disciplined life, that we can, when Christ comes, we won't be living in sin and have things in our life that God can point out as wrong things. We need to be living without spot and blameless in his sight and in the sight of others here on earth. You see, prophecy is very important, and we need to spend time studying it and rejoicing in the wonderful promises that we have in the Word of God. One of these days, and we don't know when, of course, but Jesus is coming again, and we're going to stand before God, and I want to be able to stand before him and have lived the kind of life that God will reward and that he will be pleased with. And I trust that will be the desire of each of us. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this time that we've had in your word. And Lord, I pray that each person listening to this message who is a child of God might live for you and seek to please you in everything they do. And Father, if anyone hears this message who is not a child of God, I pray that today they will ask you to forgive their sin and ask Jesus to become their Savior, that they might be ready to go to be with the Lord and be in heaven forever with you. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.